In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Betches Media presents...
I would like to speak to America's men for 1 minute.
That slacker barista.
I start getting full of emotion.
Now we're going to build this new bridge here.
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't.
Betches Up Podcast.
Like, how are people surviving?
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. We have so many randomly big topics today, and to help us discuss them and laugh at them is comedian and author Jenny Hogan. She is back. Thank you so much for coming.
Woo!
Thanks for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
One of our fave guest co-hosts. And yeah, like I said, it's like a faucet of political stories that's not like gushing this week, but like you can't turn it off, right, Elise?
No, you certainly can't.
And that was actually probably not the best metaphor to start with.
Wow, Amanda, canceled 5 seconds into the pod.
Damn, couldn't even look at my first story. But there is the biggest news story of the week in the country, not just in Florida, of course, is this unbelievably massive hurricane. Hurricane Ian has hit Florida. It is one of the strongest hurricanes to ever hit the United States. That's some scary sounding shit. With some places reporting a storm surge of 8 to 10 feet above ground level. It worsened to nearly a Category 5 storm as it approached the shore, which was like a little surprise. Apparently, hurricanes normally lose strength as they approach the shore, but the effects of climate change have given them kind of like the juice they need to keep it going. And I mean, obviously, some of our listeners don't need to have seen the clips online. They're there. They might not have power. Maybe they're listening to this because they ran out of juice on their laptop. But also, if you have, I've seen the clips are just like, it does look like one of the worst hurricanes to have ever hit. So really scary to think of what we might hear in the next couple of days.
Yeah, so I went down the TikTok rabbit hole last night watching storm footage. Well, first I checked in on all my family in Florida. They're mm-hmm. all doing okay. They're on the other coast. So it's
famously
like,
big state. Yeah.
Yeah, it is quite large. They're on the other coast. So things are looking fine for them as of right now. But I watched a video that blew my mind of a couple. They were like, there was a body of water in between them, some kind of bay. And on the other side, they were watching a tornado. Mm-hmm. From their balcony, the tornado crosses the water and starts coming towards them, and they're running inside, and you can hear this woman being like, Carl, get inside, and he's like, I will.
I'm going viral right now.
Yeah, he's like, I'm getting a great video, like literally, and you can just hear this man's wife being like, come inside, there's a tornado. But the tornado just like zoomed right past him, and on the one hand, I'm kind of glad he didn't go inside because it was a pretty crazy video.
Man, Carl took a bet and it paid off.
Carl took a bet and it did pay off.
Good for Carl. I hope he's licensing that video and making a couple $100 for it, for risking his life.
Yeah, for
sure. Oh, yeah. I sent you a picture of a very forlorn-looking woman, which was fair because a boat fully was inside her apartment, fully just entered her apartment somehow from the water. I mean, this is like a weird period because like I've heard of lots of search and rescue happening, and I don't know if this is like over the next couple of days you hear of lives that might have been lost, because some of the footage is like,
it's intense.
You can't imagine a person getting caught. It's like people don't survive that when they're in the ocean. So when it's flooding through your streets and you can get caught on all sorts of things, I mean, I won't go any further, but
yeah,
really hard to watch, and like unfortunately a future reality. Like these seasons are just going to be getting worse. It's crazy because I feel like a month ago I was reading like, oh, it's been a surprisingly mild hurricane season, but it's just delayed. It's just been Ian like hulking up.
Yeah. Yeah. Floodwaters are full of the nastiest crap too. So it's like in the days after, who knows, people who were like exposed to this water could get sick and shit. Like it's, I mean, flood water is some of the dirtiest water you can encounter.
I feel like there's just, it is Florida. And tell me if regionally I'm not in the right place, but aren't there alligators everywhere?
I mean, there's got to be some gators.
I've seen them.
There's got to be gators just that have been flushed from like the canals and stuff. Again, maybe I'm not in the right region of Florida, but got to be errant gators out there. Like on top of everything else you've got to deal with.
Yeah.
Gotta be.
Like, there's got to be. There's got to be.
Yeah, that would really freak me out, a gator walking down the street. Also, if a boat ends up in your apartment, like, is that your boat from then on?
I think that's the rule.
That's
Florida law. If a boat or an alligator enters your apartment, they're both your responsibility, own them. Yeah, you also own them. Elise and I were chatting this morning about, you know, how to help in resources. And, you know, you can give to the Red Cross. I think when you give to them, it just goes in one pot and, you know, they'll use it for immediate relief. The Humane Society is also using the money. I mean, like, you have to get a lot of pets out of shelters. The TikTok videos that I spent a lot of time watching were the ones on how you prepare certain zoo animals at wildlife refuges. Like, for certain birds, they just put them in the bathroom. Like, they got no other choice. They're in just the bathroom.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I wasn't even thinking about that, like, how you prepare a zoo.
There's so much. That's where a hurricane. Oh, yeah. Whenever there's a disaster coming, that's the first thing I look up on TikTok is, like, how are the zoos preparing more in Ukraine? Hurricane in Florida. Because they're always doing it, and they've always got, like, the most novel things. Like, all of them were, like, they were crawling under the stalls to make sure that they were locked so that the stork didn't get in the fucking bathroom stall. So I really hope that the storks in Florida are okay. And of course, the people. And the shelter pets. Again, this is sort of the couple days where we'll see. But regardless, like, damage to property is also, you know, devastating for people.
Oh, I was just reading that they have very low rates of flood insurance right now, I guess because of like the economy just doing worse in general. Fewer people had bought flood insurance, so it's even more catastrophic.
Gonna be a lot of GoFundMes.
Yeah.
Around, yeah. Mm-hmm. In other news, Elise Morales, you broke this news to me today. Who is getting a divorce this week?
Oh, this week in divorce court, it's none other than Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene. Her husband, Perry, filed for divorce after 27 years of marriage, citing the marriage as irretrievably broken.
Fair.
And Marjorie Taylor Greene, like, put out a statement today. It's the most, like, Marjorie Taylor Greene statement. It's like, marriage is a wonderful thing, and I'm a firm believer in it. Our society is formed by a husband and a wife creating a family to nurture and protect. Like, she has to get in weird homophobia. And then she's like, Perry gave me the best job ever. Mom. And for that, I will always be grateful. I also saw that
Elise, can you just make this a TikTok?
He will always be grateful. Yeah. I'm Marjorie Taylor Greene. He also apparently filed to keep their finances a secret, which is interesting because normally, like, some of their financial information would become public record as a result of this, but he filed to have that not happen. It actually seems kind of amicable, whatever is going on. He's like asking for 50-50 and whatever, but interesting that they've become irretrievably broken.
I know. Just imagine getting to the 28th year of being married to her and being like, that's it.
Irretrievably broken.
I do not think you should have to come up with a reason for divorcing Marjorie Taylor Greene. Like, I think maybe in some marriages you need a reason, but I think that one, it's enough to just be like, look, Google her.
Yeah, right. It's see above. Like, look at the name. That's all.
Just include links to, like, some of her clips and just be like, it's irretrievably broken at this point. I'm sure I can't imagine Perry Greene is awesome.
No, I absolutely 27 years. Absolutely not. He can't be great.
What? How long do you think until she's married again?
Ooh, interesting.
I can't even.
She'll get married again, and probably. I wonder if she'll try to, like, form a power couple.
Yeah, with like some Mary other.
Up. Yeah.
Who's single?
Yeah,
Madison Cawthorn got divorced as well.
They were okay. They were close. They were close.
Very close.
That would be interesting for her to go like the cougar route.
Mm-hmm. I support it.
Lindsey Graham, famously
single.
That would honestly be perfect for both of them. I think.
They do like he gets like a beard. Platonic partnership. Yeah.
Yes. Somebody should pitch that to them.
Like House of the Dragon, where they have an agreement.
Yeah.
Like with Rhaenyra and her husband or whatever, they have an agreement set out in the beginning. We can each do what we want, but this is a political marriage for us to take the throne.
From absolute hell. From absolute. Well, I mean, just imagine them having to do just like a fake smooch for the camera. I'd like to skip lunch now. I'm good.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
In other news, today is a huge day for Ginny's talking. Not only do we have the one and only Ginny Hogan on the Betches Up podcast, but we have the one and only Ginny Thomas chatting away, hopefully, with the January 6th committee in D.C. today. We have the Ginny gregarious energy going strong, going strong. In recent weeks, Ginny Thomas reached an agreement with the House Committee investigating the insurrection about talking with them. Plenty of texts. We've been talking about this for a long time. Plenty of texts and emails show that Ginny Thomas, who was problematically married to problematic Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, was encouraging the scheme to appoint fake electors, coordinating about actual strategies to accomplish that. Any kind of like offshoot of conspiracy theory around that motivated the insurrection, Ginny Thomas was kind of like involved with. Remember, she texted Mark Meadows to stay strong and ensure Trump didn't concede the election to Biden. Mm-hmm. So her lawyer tried to argue so many texts. Her lawyer tried to argue over the summer that these were just texts among friends and did not require any further scrutiny from the panel. No big deal. Now he describes her as eager to explain herself.
Ginny Thomas doesn't have friends, so that's kind of clearly a lie.
But she also consistently referred to, I was brushing up on my Ginny Thomas text today, in fact, as I was writing the newsletter. And she also often refers to Clarence as her best friend. She like alludes to him in the text and she's like, having a conversation with my best friend today. But she also claims that they never talk about any of this stuff.
Well, you told me something at least today that I had not heard, which is that I don't know if you knew this, Ginny, but Ginny Thomas was a straight up cult member that was deprogrammed. And she talks about this. This is something she was open about.
What cult?
Yes. Lifespring. It was called Lifespring. It sounded like an early
Okay.
It has Nexium, but I think there's like a Christianity element, and it is a self-help church. And Ginny Thomas was fully in it, and now she became like an anti-cult activist. That was her first cause in like the 80s and 90s because she was fully deprogrammed from a cult. And now she texts QAnon links to the former chief of staff.
Yep. Full circle. She's just she's a lady who's made use of what she knows.
Exactly.
Listen, when you have a skill set, you have to flex it. You have to flex
it. In this economy, yeah. You gotta
it's like double-digit inflation. Ginny's gotta work. Yeah. That Clarence Thomas only makes like I don't know, it's like $250,000 a year. That George, wherever they live, I'm sure she's although Ginny Thomas, I was noticing this morning, based on pictures of her, she only has one outfit. Like, you can tell there was one time she did a public, appearance, and she wore a pink blazer and, like, this polka dot multicolored scarf. I hope she fucking hates that outfit now. Because the only Getty pictures there are of her, I tweeted, if you Google her, just all news stories of the same exact outfit. And
yeah, it's giving Dolores Umbridge. It's giving.
She should have. I hope she let herself be snapped today, so at least she can get a few more Getty pictures. But she's chatting to them today, apparently going to explain herself. But Elise, in the article that you sent me, it did say that like people that have been in cults before like are more vulnerable, despite how much they know about what happened to them, are more vulnerable to fall into it again, because it's like there's a reason you did before. Weird. She's referring to her husband as her best friend. That seems weird to me. So it's like she says she's just asking questions. She's just talking with friends. And it's like,
do you think in her vows, like in Ginny and Clarence's vows, they're like, today I am marrying my best friend.
1,000%. When, and then they didn't kiss.
It's like so embarrassing when people say that, because it's like you're just letting people know that you don't have other friends. If 100%. Your spouse is your best friend. Yeah.
I would say Danny's my very close friend, my special friend.
Well, I have noticed as a person who's having a wedding in 10 days that like the person who I ask to do the most things and I feel the most comfortable asking to do things is obviously Mike. So I'm like, who's going to do this? Mike, well, he's busy. He can't start to like make actual demands. But yes, I've been feeling that energy. Any instinct I had to take that out of my vows, I took out when I realized it might be true. The one thing Jenny and I have in common. So let's stay on the subject of politics and election deniers for a few more minutes. Midterms, of course, they're in full swing. Most of the headlines I'm reading around politics are around midterms. Jenny and I were chatting about this. It feels like people are paying attention. The narratives, the storylines, they're out there. We're doing this. Doug Mastriano, he's terrifying. He's running for governor of Pennsylvania as a Republican. So he's an election denier who's also proposed doing some absolutely insane shit if elected. This week, a clip resurfaced of him saying that if he were elected, he would pass a bill where women who get abortions ought to be charged with murder.
Amazing.
That's chill. That's chill.
Governor awesome.
Of Pennsylvania. Great. Today marks 40 days until the election. And Mastriano posted, that he will spend that stretch fasting and in prayer. He planned this comes as his campaign is just doing really poorly. And I think that's the energy behind this. He planned a big rally last weekend and only a few dozen people showed up. His campaign is running out of money. He's even asked U.S. citizens abroad to donate to his campaign for governor of Pennsylvania. This is the fundraising disparity. His opponent, Democrat Josh Shapiro, raised $25 million over the summer. Mastriano raised $3 million. This is the person that the voters chose. The party didn't want him. Josh Shapiro actually paid to run ads supporting Mastriano in the primary because he thought he would be easier to beat. And, you know, we're very careful about polls, but right now Josh Shapiro is 11 points ahead. So maybe this is Mastriano's literal come to Jesus moment. He has posted on his Facebook that he is doing 40 days of fasting and prayer. My favorite thing about the post on his Facebook is that it has 110 likes.
Oh, no.
Do you think the fasting is because he's out of money? He's just decided that's inflation. Kind of a way to cut costs? Have his whole staff fast?
Groceries are really, you know, it's no joke that groceries have gotten really expensive. So, maybe he's just like, I'll do a cleanse and
here's the
I'll
thing,
get
my
in,
last.
I'll think get in concession be. Shape. I'll get my concession body totally ready. Right.
I think you could be totally right. I think that like his office could have been like, hey, the interns need snacks. They need like some Nature Valley bars. And I could be like, we have $22 million less dollars than the other campaign. Let's tell them that we're fasting. This motherfucker's not fasting. He's just telling them that they're all fasting. I think somebody should, if this man is committed to doing this, you know how many clips we're going to see and like go viral in the next couple days of him like eating a burger?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be absolutely. Worse than the crudité.
Yes.
Yeah.
Same energy.
Crudité. Yeah.
Precisely. Yeah. Speaking of that race, the other funny headline I saw related to that race this week was Dr. Oz is really trying to make it seem like John Frenerman is in the Crips.
Oh, yes.
Okay. I first heard that on a podcast and I didn't realize they meant the gang. I thought it was like a reference to him being a Crip keeper, aka about to die, which they've also been doing. And then I realized, I was like, but if you think that he's like a stroke victim who like can't walk, how can you possibly believe he's in a gang? You know, like you need to get around to being a gang.
You have to have some consistency.
Well, wasn't there also a thing? So Fetterman, and this is yes, you can probably guess there, this, but there. Fetterman has a 9-inch nails tattoo. He has a 9-inch nail lyric tattooed on his arm or whatever, and Newt Gingrich tried to tweet it out being like, is this a 9-inch nail lyric?
Yes.
Or is it a reference to being in the Crips? And everyone was like, it's a 9-inch nails lyric.
What does Newt Gingrich, like, what is he doing at home? Where he was like, you know what? What's his name? Wife's name? Like Calista?
Calista.
Something
Calista,
like
who,
that.
Who always face tunes herself and not him in their photos, which is like, I actually do follow her on social media because without fail, every photo she leaves him looking wrinkled, pale, gaunt, and she's fully airbrushed.
Within an inch of her life.
Doesn't even give him a swipe over. It's like, damn.
He looks like a little bridge troll. He's like coming out from underneath her. It is hell. She hates him as much as we do. Oh, God. Living with him must be hell. She's just like, just tweet about it, darling. Just tweet about it. While she's like pulling the threads up behind her ears to keep her face up. Oh, anyway, they're really resorting. I was looking at a lot of polling this morning, and like there are really some races where Democrats look like they're going to run away with it. But there are also some that are super interesting, like Stacey Abrams is way behind.
Crazy.
Even though Senator Warnock is way ahead of Herschel Walker. And I was chatting to Bridget about this, and she was like, people just don't believe in women of color. So, you know, when asked if they're not just being asked, like, do you think that she should win? They're probably also being asked, like, do you think she will win? And it's like, this woman has delivered Democratic wins, the fucking White House, like both Senate seats because of her work in advocacy. So it's so strange to me that when she's the candidate, it's different. I don't get it.
I think that Kemp, it's pretty unearned, but I think that Kemp is benefiting a lot from the fact that he didn't do what Trump wanted in Georgia. And so now, this is my theory, but now he has this, even though he actually is a very far right political operative, he has this sheen of being apolitical, where Stacey Abrams has this Democrat star left thing on her. And I think that's why Georgia, this is the first time we ever flipped it. It's like a deep purple, still kind of red state. And so I think if they can vote for a Republican who makes them feel good, which Kemp does, because now he has this like bipartisan, I didn't actually overthrow the U.S. government sheen.
That's where the bar, that's where Republicans like benefiting
from that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Glenn Youngkin, I feel like. You can be really conservative if you're not actually like a MAGA, like, you know, apostle. You'll look moderate just by Trump insulting you, basically.
Yeah, it gives a cover to a lot of people who weren't able to find it in 2020, who maybe didn't decide to come out for Biden or stay home for those those other senators.
I feel like it's better to have Trump criticize you than to criticize him. Like, you don't have to criticize him and alienate the people who love him. But then if he criticizes you, you can like use that to your advantage, like to be like, look, I'm like center of the aisle, you know, like center.
Yeah. Ugh. I will say one of the things that I just cannot stop thinking about after this week, because obviously Ron DeSantis has been front and center in Florida.
Another governor's race.
He's doing a competent job. Politically, a hurricane, this is like kind of a cynical thing to say, but politically a hurricane can be a very slam dunk thing for a governor as long as he acts normal. gives a normal press conference.
Says yes to the experts. Yeah,
accepts federal aid. Like Ron DeSantis went out there and was like, I'm putting aside pettiness. Me and Biden are working together, whatever. He like looks really good. And so I'm just like, this impending showdown of him and his father figure, his Darth Vader, his daddy. like he's gonna have to defeat his own daddy to get what he wants. And it's so interesting because that fight is coming so quickly. And it'll be, I wonder how Ron DeSantis is gonna play it, given like all the things Jenny was just saying about like, you can have Trump criticize you, but to criticize him, it's not good. So like, how does he stick that landing? We'll have to see.
Yeah, I wonder if he'll just say that Trump is too old and that it's like time to like, you know, thank you for fixing the party and now we got to move on.
That's really interesting. Yeah, we'll see. I think that's how he'll start. And then if Trump sort of attacks him, he can sort of be like, I mean, I came out with like, I came out and I was respectful.
I mean, it's gonna be like, Ron DeSantis is going to definitely start out with that. He's going to be like, unfortunately, the Democrats will never allow Trump to govern because of all these fake inquiries and whatever, blah, blah, blah. But then, I mean, that only goes so far as until Trump comes out and calls him like Ms. DeSantis.
Something about his hair. Yeah.
Yeah, like misgenders him on purpose or something.
Ms. DeSantis is great. I'm just start using that.
Yeah. For some reason. Madam. And then it's like it all goes off the rails or whatever.
Like, and then he just forces Ron DeSantis to be like, respect people's gender identity, sir.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, I think he's going to make fun of him for living in Florida. He has no shame.
Here's what it is. Here's what he calls him. Little Miss Florida.
Oh, that's good.
Here's what happens is they get on the debate stage, even though Trump fully lives in Florida.
Not allowed to be in New York.
I think Ron DeSantis actually, I Googled it once, is kind of tall. He's going to call him Little Miss Florida. And then
Ron DeSantis just has changes. The hair. The hair is much of, I mean, so does Trump, but I still think he'll
Ron
go
DeSantis
after.
Ron DeSantis is wide, too. He's got broad shoulders.
Real broad.
I had an image of him as being, like, kind of short and stout, like a little, like, stocky dude, but I Googled it, and he's, like, over 6 foot, which
he's a
real
man.
To add to his oeuvre, but
again, I maintain why I was so jarred when I saw Joe Manchin in person, because he has that same energy where it's like, ew, gross, he must be like a tiny, listen, we love a short king, nothing, as Millie says, nothing sexier than a short king. But then you see them in person and it's like, oh, they do have like a weird charisma. A tall man is just still in the year 2020, the intoxicating effect of a tall man with mild charisma. It's not fair. It's unearned.
Well,
we need a pill to cancel
so
it out.
Me.
No,
people
do
are going to get mad at saying this, but I once saw Chris Christie speak publicly. I guess I was working at Facebook and he was there. He is extremely charismatic. I like could not look away. He just like really knows how to capture an audience.
Yeah, I said this could, about Joe Manchin recently. And
yeah, it was
Amanda.
Pretty jarring.
There's a reason these people get that they got into. It's like a dark power, but it's a power nonetheless. Yeah. Even like Trump does not come off to me as charismatic, but people love his shtick. I mean, he rode that all the way to the White House, that and with some help. Outside help, but
the country. Which, So to change gears dramatically here, we're going to talk about menstrual cycles. From the election cycle to menstrual cycles. Here we go. It took a very, very long time to, do you guys remember after the COVID vaccine, a lot of people, I don't know if you guys were like, wait, is your period weird? Did you experience that? And if not, did you hear about friends and families or see on social media that after people got their first or second dose of the vaccine, that they felt like something was up with their period? Elise?
I heard that from a lot of people, which is always like, you know, it's anecdotal evidence or whatever. But I personally didn't experience that, but I noticed I heard that from a lot of people.
I also didn't experience it, but did hear it. But it is hard because I switch birth control, it's off for like 2 years. Like, so my period is never regular. So I like am not in a position to judge, but I did hear that.
I also heard people just even at the beginning of the pandemic, just like our periods are like pretty sensitive to anything that we do. So like going inside suddenly, getting like the vaccine, like you had a lot of side effects. Like it was probably going to have a side effect on that as well. But at the time, I actually did have pretty bad side effects. Like not like crazy, just I was just like, oh, this is the weirdest, like it was the weirdest period I'd ever had. It was just like really extreme. But do you guys feel like that potential side effect at the time made some people like sus when they heard about it?
I mean, I think one of the issues is that like there were side effects to the vaccine and then like people wouldn't talk about them because it was like considered like anti-vax and then people didn't have information. I saw like an Atlantic story about like a doctor who's like believed that the vaccine made his cancer worse, but he didn't want to investigate because he thought it would like dissuade people. And it becomes this thing where like we're all so afraid that people don't behave rationally anymore. So then like the people who have information don't feel comfortable giving it out because like people won't be able to. It was very scary, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I was really just thinking about like just how heightened and tense what it was when the vaccine was coming out and the vax versus anti-vax like wars of just like a little over a year ago. And it was like, now I feel like a lot of that has settled down and people can actually finally like talk about things with a little bit less intensity. We can like find these studies, but I know for myself, I like shied away from any of that because again, yeah, I was like, what if people start using this for to not get the vaccine, da da da. But it is like it's obviously important to know if the vaccine is gonna change women's periods.
And I think that's what this sort of like study and the attention to it is looking at. Like I said, it took a very long time to get this actual research. Let's talk about the what they found and kind of how this maybe could have been addressed or worked into the rollout in a different way. It took a very long time to get these results up, but a study of nearly 20,000 people around the world shows that getting vaccinated against COVID did cause the timing, could potentially cause the impact the timing of the menstrual cycle. So they pulled this data from menstrual tracking apps, which users did consent to. There still can be, I guess, some productive uses for that if people are down for it. But also notable, these people weren't using birth control. If you're on birth control, I feel like it's kind of like, it's like very rigid. It's like doesn't let your period fall out of line if you're consistent with it. But if you're not, or if you're on like, I'm on the mini pill, for instance. And so I think it doesn't have any estrogen. So my period is still like all over the place. I'm just raw dogging it. So it's those people and people that are on that like aren't impacted by artificial hormones. Vaccinated people experienced on average about a 1 day delay in getting their periods compared with those who hadn't been vaccinated. But there was a different category that's a lot more extreme. People who received two vaccinations within one menstrual cycle experienced greater disruptions. And I think that would be most people that went and then they said, come back in was it 2 weeks or 3 weeks?
2 weeks. So I feel like it's like you could, it's probably a toss up. Like if you had it between one menstrual cycle or two, because like if you got the first one while you were, you know, right about to have your period, like whatever, it just depends.
Yes. So if you got both doses during a menstrual cycle, it really had an impact on your period. The average increase in cycle length was 4 days. I believe that's synonymous with delay in period.
That's a lot of extra days.
That's a lot of extra days.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I would have noticed that.
I don't know if your cycle means like not just your period, right? Doesn't your cycle mean
the whole thing? So I guess it depends on like where that extra, but if it's like four.
But if the whole thing's increasing, then it seems like on average your period increases too, or maybe it just increases. I had a longer, like, heavier period for sure.
Yeah, or you could end up being in like the luteal phase for longer, which is where you're like PMSing and you're bloated and my tits hurt. That's mine. But that's for me.
13% experienced a delay of 8 days or more. Ooh. So that's like, that's, I mean, this is a study of 20,000 people, but that's crazy to be waiting for your period for 8 days and not know why.
Gotten a pregnancy test by then. If I'm like 5 days late, I get a pregnancy test. That's crazy.
That's crazy. Or I would just start getting scared that I was like, something's, that's just, I mean, if your period's 8 days late, your health is, that's not a good sign. Like your period's usually a pretty good sign of your health. Researchers don't know exactly why the vaccines seem to affect menstrual cycles, but like we've been saying, the immune and reproductive systems are linked. Any inflammation or strong immune response could trigger a menstrual fluctuation. Everybody had pretty extreme reactions to that vaccine. We all were told we would have, you know, a lot of side effects, but we weren't really told it would impact our period. I didn't really see any kind of like super active suppression of discussion around period symptoms. But like you said, Elise, I did feel like there was a sort of collective like, hey, maybe we don't like, should we be talking about this? So do you think that officials owed us more of a warning that the vaccine could have this impact? Or does it sort of feel like a great opportunity to learn next time we have a rollout? You should be telling half the population that it might impact something that happens to them every month.
I just wonder if, like, we even did the – I don't think they even did those studies.
Yeah, I don't know if they could have known.
Which is like – that's a different problem of like us not testing medicine on women and expecting women to like have their period be 8 days late. And then it's like, I don't know. I feel like it's just, it goes back to what's always expected of us is like, take the medicine, don't say shit, like, we're not going to test it on you. Then if you do start raising the alarm about stuff that happened to you, you're going to look like you're discrediting the science. Like, my feeling is like, why weren't they testing this on women's periods before they gave it to us?
Do you think if they had given out that information, like, it would have been harder to get people to take the vaccine?
I think potentially, because I think that, like, people that aren't professionals or weren't listening to professionals. I mean, I know you, I would admit you hear like, oh, your period's different. And then you instantly think like, is that affecting my fertility? And because that's there were thing. Concerns yeah. around fertility. Yeah. And I feel like they managed that really well. They were just sort of like, yes, these vaccines are new, but we've actually been researching them for a very long time. And this has just hastened it. And it's, yes, you're, if I feel like the messaging at the time was totally valid. It might have impacted your period, but that's not dangerous. We have no reason to believe that that's dangerous. So I actually feel like the way they messaged around it was pretty good. And I feel like people know that now, and they know, like you said at the beginning of the discussion, Elise, like, it's been years now, and I feel like you hear a lot less from anti-vaxxers because people did not drop, thousands of people did not drop dead. They have lived. Many babies have been born to vaxxed individuals. Like, it's fine. It worked out. Everything's fine.
Yeah, I think that if the information had come out earlier, I think there would have been, like, people on the margins who were worried about fertility and stuff. There might have been more instances of people waiting to see what was going on and whatever. Like, I don't know. After watching the vaccine rollout, I've made more room in my, like, life and my brain for people who are just not early adopters of things. And I think, you know, I don't know. I feel like less of a hardliner sometimes, where I understand people who waited a couple months or whatever. I think at this point, get vaccinated, like, okay. But I have a little more like room and space for the people in my life who did actually just want to wait and see because of this kind of stuff. And I don't know if maybe this would have changed the amount of people who opted to do that.
It's really interesting. Yeah, because we're saying, you know, women deserve more information, but the internet sucks. And sometimes that information, like, it's not doctors that end up being responsible for how it's framed or how it goes out. Yeah, I feel the same way. Yeah, I feel the same way about the things both of you flagged.
Yeah, I think that especially at that time, right during the rollout or whatever, and in the months prior, there was like a confirmation bias problem going on everybody's side. So I think if the information had come out at that time, the people who were anti-vaccine would have been like, look, this will mess up your period. And the people who are pro would have been like, they tested it and it's like, it's just a side effect, but it's okay. So I think everyone would have used it to their own aims no matter what. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is kind of, and there, it was just so early that there wasn't enough information, but I agree with you on like being, I think that like the discourse at the beginning got so polarized and it was like anyone not getting the vaccine is so stupid. And I think that that kind of just pushed it even further to the, like made it more extreme. And then people kind of like dug their heels in. But I also think it's like one of those things where I honestly am always nervous about getting anything in my body, which is not to say that I have like a, you know, I like drink like 2 or 3 Diet Cokes a day. I'm not like a chemical. I'm not like someone who's like, can't have any chemicals, but like, I understand people's concern. It just truly did not feel like there was an alternative. Like I was kind of like, yeah, I mean, it might have side effects, but there's literally nothing else that we can do.
Right. And it was like, we're in once in a century pandemic. Like it was very clear, like with any shot. I mean, we take birth control. A lot of people take birth control every day and that's a lot more dangerous. So it's just like weighing pros and cons. But I think like you said at the very beginning, Elise, it just seems regardless of the impact of offering that information, it's not just like, oh, this might impact people with lupus. This might impact people, with high blood pressure. This might impact half the people. Mm-hmm. Like it's just crazy to throw something out there and not even have like, you know, maybe like if you get it at your doctor's office, like I got my booster at my doctor's office. And because I already have like a relationship with her, I found that she was just a little bit more like, you know, we've heard that, like, we've actually heard the booster really does kind of knock you out for a bit, you know, whereas I feel like at the beginning it was very much like, you get this and you don't complain and that nothing will ever go wrong. And she will, you will dance off like a healthy fairy after this. But it's like, it's a medicine. It's not like, it's fine if you have a reaction and some questions. But yeah, it's an interesting thing to sort of like look back on to see how people reacted and to see how more information could have been like provided. And obviously it just ties into people ignoring women's pain and problems.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, number one theme. On Thursdays, Ginny, we like to talk about what's getting us through the week. If it's like a TV show or a practice or a movie or something else. Elise, what do you got?
Oh, well, I think anyone who follows me can probably guess, but what's been getting me through this week is my solo show, which is tonight at 7 p.m. At the Crane Theater in Manhattan. There are still some tickets available for the in-person showing, but I would buy them not at the door because they might sell out before that. Hooray. And then you can also, there are live stream tickets. So if you're not in New York or you can't make it out, you can come. And yeah, I've really just been, my entire focus has been getting that ready, and I'm really excited for it.
Yay.
I have all my little props that came in the mail.
Oh, fun. Wow. Decor.
There will be props. There will be cameos. It's going to be fun.
I was talking to Chris because I was going to see if he wanted to do something, but he's the busiest person ever. I was like, all right, I'll see you there, though. And he was like, I'll be the one dressed as Dumbledore. Are we allowed to say that?
Yes, that's okay. That is announced.
Okay.
Fat Carrie Bradshaw will be playing the role of Albus Dumbledore in the show. It's going to be very fun. My husband may or may not be playing Midwestern Hagrid. So, which is different than regular Hagrid. So come on out and see what all of that means.
Slight difference. It's so exciting. Ginny, what about you? Any fixations or obsessions this week that are lifting your spirit?
I'm obsessed with my car. I just learned how to drive very recently. Cool. And I got a car that I love. And then this week, the reason I'm so obsessed with mine is that this weekend I was in Portland and I rented a car and I hated the car so much. And even though I'm a new driver, I was already like, I need to get back to my car. So I'm going to drive my car later today and I'm really excited for it.
Elise, you also, you drove in like high school and stuff, right?
Yeah, I like, got my driver's license in high school in Northern Virginia. I mean, you had to be driving. But once I moved to the city, I did not drive for like 8 years. And basically, like, I didn't forget how, but I was so nervous to start
again.
That's
where I'm out at. Yeah.
I took a class in Manhattan with like, it was like a refresh your driving course that I think is mostly for the elderly. But I did take it and it made me feel better. And now I drive once again.
I feel like I need to get there. I don't know. I got into like a lot of fender benders like in my first 2 years of driving. And that sort of like shattered my confidence. But then I had like, you know, the rest of like through college. But yeah, I haven't driven I don't think I've driven for like 7 or 8 years. And I feel like my anxiety is also just on another level, like incomparable to before. So I can't imagine. And like driving. But I want to live in the city forever, but I'm not sure if my partner does. And I don't know how long that will be realistic. So it's like a bitch has got to figure out how to drive, but it's really scary.
It comes right back. That's what I'll tell you is that I was surprised at like how fast it came back. And Danny also, he had lost his license for reasons that are the subject of his own one-man show. Don't need to get into all of that here. But either way, he got his license back, like went through that whole process. Yeah. And both of us were like, it really does come right back.
So what is it like? Is it scary to learn from nothing, Ginny?
It was so scary. And the reason I'm so obsessed with my car is that it like has all these automatic features. It's like, it's a Nissan with Pro Pilot. So like, I don't have to steer it on the highways. It does like adaptive cruise control. And part of what was so scary about the car this weekend is that I had to like do it myself on the highway. Like I'm very used to like, I'm so nervous. And then I get on the highway and I'm like, okay, I can relax. And I did not have that this time.
Mm-hmm. That is so funny because by taking that like 8 year gap in driving that I did, now in new cars, I like don't know how to use the backup camera. I'm like stuck. I feel like I'm stuck in technology that like, I've had to the hardest part was learning how to, like, use the new features that actually technically make cars more safe now.
Interesting.
But I still, my sister was laughing at me because I kept turning around to back out of the driveway. And she's like, use the camera. There is a backup camera. And I'm like, I can't, I don't understand that. I don't trust that.
Oh my God. Yeah. Whenever even Mike's driving, and I think he still looks back, but if he doesn't, I was like, how could you? What are you trying to do? Murder us?
Yeah, like you're a monster. Yeah.
I've said this before, but I do bike around the city, which I feel like has given me some confidence that, like, I can do very dangerous things without dying yet. So we'll keep
biking
at it.
And then, I do both, and yeah. I find biking scarier than driving, even as a new driver. So
mm-hmm, really? Well, because I feel like if a car hits you, you've got a chance if you're in a car.
Safety
if you're
on foot abound.
Or you're on the bike, it's really close. Like, it's really a toss up. I'm trying to think of the only things getting me through the week are the things that I say every single week, which is that my dog's feeling better. I have a sickly dog, Ginny. He finally, like, this last night was the first night in probably a month he has slept through the night without, like, waking us up coughing, which, like, I don't think I can have a baby. Like, when you feel rested and you realize you haven't felt rested for, like, a month, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. It feels like drugs. Yeah. I feel like I did heroin today. I'm just like, no, I just got 7 straight hours of sleep. So that's what's keeping me, getting me through the week. Sleep. Sleep is incredibly important. Do not neglect it. When you have good sleep, appreciate it. That is our show. Thank you so much for joining, Ginny. Where can people find you? What are you up to? Do you have any shows coming up?
I'm Ginny Hogan _ on Instagram and Twitter. Yay. I have a monthly show at Caveat, but the next one's not till November because I'm gone most of October. But I will post about it a lot online.
Driving somewhere fun?
I am. I'm going on a road trip of the South and I'm doing a lot of stand-up. Cool. So actually, if you live in Asheville, Savannah, Atlanta, Charleston, or Bristol, Tennessee, I'll be there. So you can find it online.
Hell yeah.
Those are fun.
Yeah,
times.
I'm excited.
That'll be great.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really
Please
excited.
Remember to rate and review. I noticed that our rating went up on iTunes after we've been asking a lot. So thank you. That is so
thank
nice.
Thank you, guys.
That really means the world because it had bummed me out when it went down after we talked about Amber Heard and Johnny Depp. So I made you happy. And it went
God damn it.
Talks about it like one time. Couldn't help ourselves.
I know we avoided talking about that for so fucking long.
I know. We talked about it just a beat too early because like about 10 days after we started talking about it is when finally like way more mainstream. It became more popular like in feminist circles to be like, y'all, like this is out of control. But you know what? We were ahead of the curve and it cost us a tenth of a rating on iTunes, but we have restored it. We are back. So let's get back up. Let's get it to a 4.7. Let's drown out the trolls. Let's do it. The people that don't like our voices. I will stop asking soon, but thank you. It really has obviously made a difference in our joy. That's what's, you know what? That is what is getting me through the week. That made me so happy when I saw it because the pit in my stomach, if we ever lose, like go below a certain follower count, it's so unhealthy. It's sick. I need more therapy about it. So I felt great seeing that. Thank you very much. That is our show. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Ginny Hogan.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye. The Betches Up Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Rebecca Sousmacat. Social media by Amanda Duberman and Bridget Swartz. Be sure to follow at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails at suppod@betches.com. Betches.